ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
In Pool A will be...
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Three-time Men's Rugby World Cup winners New Zealand will be looking to go a step further than their one-point final loss in France in 2023.
That's the sound of the Wallabies drawing the All Blacks in their group for the Australian-hosted Rugby World Cup. Showpiece tournament draws are about pots of ping pong balls, groups of death, long-range predictions, roads to the final, guesswork. The upshot from an Aussie point of view is we will almost certainly play bitter and traditionally better rivals New Zealand in the tournament opener in Perth. There are things I love about this draw, and there are things I kind of hate. Rugby Australia Chief Executive and World Cup finalist Phil Waugh is going to talk me through it. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Phil Waugh is here. Phil, we will focus on Australia first, then broaden out. The Wallabies drew lowly Hong Kong, China and Chile, then world number two, New Zealand, our friendly neighbours. What was your reaction when the ping pong ball landed and it was All Blacks, Wallabies?
Oh, I think it was one of excitement. I think to be playing a home World Cup's enormous, and then obviously to have the opportunity to play the All Blacks at a home World Cup is going to be a huge game. And obviously the way that then depending on how you fare in that game and then how that flows through into the round of 16 and quarterfinals, there's a few different machinations. But I think all in all, if you look at Chile are certainly an improving team. Probably where Argentina were some years ago. So they'll be certainly very competitive. And Hong Kong, China, first time in a World Cup, will be also a good fun game.
And if we've done it right, Dan Carter, the last team to come out into Pool A should be...
Hong Kong, China.
Hong Kong, China. They'll make their Rugby World Cup debut after winning the Asia Rugby Men's Championship, making history as only the second ever side to qualify for the tournament from Asia.
All in all, I think it's an exciting draw, and I think right across the six pools of four, I think all teams are looking at it and working through what are the different opportunities and challenges through the process.
Outgoing coach Joe Schmidt mirrored your sort of understated excitement. Harry Wilson had his say as well, the skipper.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I guess as an Australian, you always love the versus New Zealand, and in the opening match of a World Cup, it doesn't get much better than that.
I know World Rugby chooses the fixtures, not you, but you were part of an all-time Wallabies upset over the ABs 2003 World Cup in Sydney.
So the Wallabies, underdogs in this game, have emphatically answered their critics with a very clinical and professional performance.
What does that feel like to have that upset go down, and how excited are you to do it again just from the corporate position?
Yeah, well, I think if you reflect on great Wallaby victories, for the history of the Wallabies, I think that semi-final against the All Blacks, winning 22-10 against all odds, is right up there with one of the great Wallaby victories.
Major lost it. Australia determined to keep its line intact. The referee looks at the clock. He blows his whistle, and the Wallabies are the first team in history to qualify for three Rugby World Cup finals.
I think one of the fascinating elements about hosting a World Cup is that you don't just get rugby lovers or sports lovers behind the Wallabies, but every Australian will be behind the team and right behind them for success. And so, going into that game in the pool fixture against the All Blacks, and clearly we'll play the All Blacks two times in 2026, two times in 2027 before we even face them. So getting some momentum leading into the World Cup will be important, but there'll be a massive excitement around that clash in the pools, and obviously our neighbours, there'll be plenty probably flying over from New Zealand as well for that fixture. So it's going to be enormous.
Straight shooting. I mean, as a rugby fan, the All Blacks have owned us in recent time. I still love this draw for Australia. Even if they lose to the ABs, it puts them on a likely collision course with Eddie Jones and Japan in the round of 16, potentially England in the quarters, on a side of the draw that seems to be having fewer heavyweights. France, New Zealand, South Africa, they're on the other side of the competition. Do you feel more or less confident about Australia's prospects after last night?
No, look, I think that if you look across probably the top seven or eight teams in the world at the moment. They can all knock each other off on any given day. You'd say South Africa is slightly ahead of everyone else, just given their depth and strength and their different ways that they can play the game. So, look, I think right across the top eight, you know, you could even say top 10 teams across the world can beat each other on any given test match. So, look, I think that, whether you, whether it plays out and you play against South Africa in the quarterfinal or it plays out and you play against England in the quarterfinal, you just got to be better in the day, right? So, look, I think that, yeah, look, we're pretty optimistic around the direction of travel, the progress the team's made over the last 12 months and, you know, get all our players back fit, healthy and match conditioned to play at their best in the World Cup.
My ears pricked up when Joe Schmidt was asked if he might play some role at the World Cup, either with Australia or New Zealand.
I'm not looking to be involved at all, either side. I may well be in the stadium watching I'd say that I'll just be delighted to be there and spectating, because I think Rugby World Cups are really special occasions.
Some in the media have interpreted that as a kind of door being left ajar on both fronts. I just wanted to understand, do you want him to work at all in any capacity with Les Kiss during the tournament? And do you have assurances that he won't work for any other nation? Or is he kind of his own man? He can go and work for New Zealand or whoever if he wanted to.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's obviously finishing up after the Nations Championship next year at the end of July. So, we've got no formal commitment with Joe post that time. But, he's been excellent for Australian rugby and, you know, not just in the Wallaby environment, but I think that, the contagion impact of him spending time out in the rugby community has been great for the game here in Australia. And we're very grateful for the investment of time he's put into it. So, look, we'll work through that. We'll work through the transition, with Les, make sure we've got the right support around Les to make him successful. And, as we've always said, the continuity from Joe to Les is really important, and we don't want it to be a fresh start. We want to be continued growth through to the Rugby World Cup in 27. You know, what role Joe plays in that, we'll wait and see. But, I think, mate, right now it's about setting the team up for success in the Nations Championship in July 26 and then continuing the progress the team's made to ensure that we're set up for success in 2027.
That is professional language. I know you're a rugby fan first, administrator second, though, Phil. So how silly is it?
Fan, player, administrator, all three.
All the hats at different times. Put the fan hat on for me. How silly is it that the three best teams in the world, New Zealand, South Africa, France, are on the same side of the draw? I mean, all going to seedings, New Zealand would play South Africa in the quarters. That's teams one and two in the world. Like, that would just be outright silly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the way that the balls got pulled out of the buckets last night.
South Africa.
There they are, the four-time Rugby World Cup champion South Africa will be looking to become the first to win three consecutive tournaments.
So, I think there's always that risk. And as I said, I think that, seedings are important, but they've changed a fair bit over the last 12 months. So, right now that's how the seedings sit, but they're likely to change between now and the World Cup. So, right now if you sit here and you go, well, actually, those three teams on one side of the draw, you may raise your eyebrows, but, I can't guarantee, but I suspect by the time the World Cup comes around, those seedings may be a bit different.
It's an expanded tournament, 24 pool teams, 16 will make the second round. FIFA's gone this route too. More teams equals more content, more money, less jeopardy. Australia, I mean, they could lose to Chile and theoretically get to the next round. Is bigger always better in these kind of showpiece tournaments, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that, it's a condensed tournament. So 6 weeks instead of 7 weeks, which was the tournament in France. I think expanding the game, opening new markets and having new teams have the opportunity to participate in the World Cup is important. And the six pools of four, as you say, the round of 16 puts a lot of jeopardy in that round before the quarterfinals. And so, it'll be exciting. There's some big clashes like our All Blacks, Wallabies clash in the pool games. You've also got Scotland and Ireland in the same pool as well, so there's some big clashes in those pool rounds, and then depending on those results will then depend on how the crossovers follow through in round of 16 and quarterfinals.
One headache that's gotten really much easier is R360, Phil. They've delayed their launch at least 2 years. Do you think, as someone who's been around the game, you've seen things come and go, is that the start of the end of this Rebel League, do you think?
Oh no, I think I think the logical start date would be 28 when on the back of the 2027 Rugby World Cup. So I think that the national unions have made a fairly clear stance on our position, and ultimately, I guess it's about getting more information. There's an appetite, I think, to disrupt and to ensure that the game becomes more attractive to younger audiences. And I think the journey that World Rugby is on is certainly down that path. So look, I think it's healthy debate, healthy intrigue as to what that disruption may look like, and then ultimately it's how everyone responds.
You've played with some ex-NRL wingers in your time. You've got guys in the system who have dabbled there as well. Zach Lomax checked out the Force this week. Now that R360 seems to be off the radar, you find a little bit of budget.
Yeah,
you be able to find a little bit of extra cash for a talented NRL winger who might make an impact, Phil?
Yeah, as I've always said, we've got a very open mind for those that want to be involved in the home Rugby World Cup. I mean, there's no bigger event in either code than a home Rugby World Cup, and so open to have conversations with those that would love to be involved with that tournament. And clearly we saw some great success with the three guys who came across in the early 2000s with Matt Rogers, Wendell and Lottie. And I think that, if I was sitting on the other side, you'd certainly be very, very intrigued to be a part of it. So, as I said, we've got quite an open mind.
Have Lomax's people spoken to your people or not so much right now?
all our people speak to other people, but I think there's live conversations, and clearly the delay in the R360s opened some doors.
What an exciting time for rugby in this country. October 1, the countdown is on, 2027. Phil, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it, the day after the Rugby World Cup draw.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Headlines, ducks and drakes, skullduggery, subterfuge, intrigue. Maybe Australia was just undecided. Regardless, they named their 11 at the toss. Pat Cummins is not in. Michael Nesser is in. But at the expense of Nathan Lyon, here's Steve Smith on the spinner being overlooked.
Michael Nesser's in for Nathan Lyon.
Can you give the reasons behind that?
Pink ball, we think it's going to offer quite a bit, particularly later on under lights. With no daylight savings here, you play in the night a lot. We feel that's going to be the best to take 20 wickets in this particular fixture.
Nesser last played Test cricket in 2022 against the Windies in Adelaide, a pink ball fixture. He's handy with the bat. He swings the ball. He knows the Gabba. In the batting setup, Josh Inglis replaces Usman Khawaja. The official team sheet lists Inglis as batting at 7. Let's see. Travis Head will open. England won the toss. They are batting on day one in the second test. Live ball-by-ball coverage on the ABC Listen app and local radio with Jim Maxwell, Corbin Middlemass, Ali Mitchell, Darren Lehman and the gang calling the action. A new stadium in Tasmania and subsequently a new AFL team is going to be a reality in the Apple Isle, with enough members of parliament indicating they plan to vote for a shiny new venue that's going to cost a lot of taxpayer cash. It's a huge win for Tassie footy fans, but not everyone in the island state is happy with the news. You can read rolling coverage on the ABC News website. ABC's Chris Rowbottom, who's been nominated for awards for his coverage on this matter, will be on the podcast tomorrow to wrap a bow on it, explain all the crucial angles. From an AFL point of view, we're going to have some clarity. Get ready for a steady stream of recruitment stories, of grumblings from teams about compromised drafts. Can't wait. Melbourne loves a rivalry between its footy clubs, between it and other cities and their respective culture depths. And the latest Melbourne rivalry is golf course rivalry. Rory McIlroy told us this week Royal Melbourne, hosting the Australian Open, is not even the best course in the city. He reckons that honour goes to Kingston Heath, which is a bit like flying in from Brizzy and telling the Fitzroy barista that the coffee's better in Richmond, only the person from Brisbane is a world coffee champ. The Augusta winner fared okay on day one of the tournament. He carded a 1-over-70. Cam Smith and Mark Leishman were 1-under. Minwoo Lee and Adam Scott, they were 2-under. None of those names are leading the tournament. To see who is and who fared best at the Royal Melbourne Goat Track, kidding, check ABC Sport website. It's a lovely course. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Star Sports and Stan Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.